So I was just thinking about this. I've been praying about this. You know how things are in the world. There's different moods. There's different shifts in culture. And right now, I really do think that there is kind of a down mood in the country. Obviously, there's been a down mood for a while. But you know how it kind of goes in waves. And I know there's been a lot of more positive tests and kind of a spike in all the cases and everything. And it can be, even for the most cheery of us in the world, it can be kind of a downer, right? Well, you know what? This is nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. And turn with me to Numbers chapter 16. You know, the children of Israel were in one of those periods where it was kind of a downer period. And some of the events that are going on in this Torah portion can really make you depressed and can really make you down. Imagine if you were living back then. Imagine if you were seeing all of the things that are going on with this rebellion that had happened. I would be pretty down too. So don't think that we're the first people to have a down problem and a down year and issues going on. This is throughout the ages. So what did they do back then? What do we need to do today? We need to dig into the Word of God. We need to go back to the truth of the Word of God, and we need to find our joy in the Lord, not in what's going on in the world, because the world can go like this, just like it did back then. It's going to go like this again. We just need to focus on the Word of God, which goes like this all the time for us. Amen? Number 16, 1 through 3. Let's begin. You know, this week, we get to this crazy Torah portion, this rebellion that's going on that really threatens to dissolve the whole community, threatens to wipe out the whole community. Multiple times Moses and Aaron are on their knees, on their faces, so that the community wouldn't be destroyed. This is kind of a dark time. Korach's rebellion. We're going to be talking about that today. Numbers 16, 1 through 3. Now Korach, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with a number of the people of Israel, 250 chiefs of the congregation, chosen from the assembly, well-known men. They assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said to them, "You have gone too far. For all in the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" Whew. This is pretty bad. This was pretty bad. I can imagine as the words were uttered, the Moses and Aaron's faces, just could not believe what was going on. Korach was of the tribe of Levi. He was a cousin of Moses, same tribe. He was an important man. His clan, his lineage, the tribe of Levi had been basically put ahead of the other tribes in so many ways, separated out, made holy, consecrated. The priests, all of the holy things, everything was entrusted to that tribe, Levi. He was a member of that tribe. It wasn't like he was part of one of the other tribes, maybe even a smaller tribe. He had very important roles to play. His particular branch of Levi had very important roles to play. But Korach wasn't happy with who he was, wasn't happy with what his role was and what he was allotted. And ultimately, we see in this whole rebellion, and it starts with this one guy, Korach, we see in this whole rebellion the impetus for all this, the root of all this, was the pride of Korach. One man, and how he could influence so many people, 250 chiefs. These weren't just 250 people he just plucked out of the congregation that were kind of grumbling and complaining and unhappy. These were the heads of the congregation, the heads of the community that he swayed. The definition of pride is a high or inordinate opinion of one's own dignity, importance, merit, or superiority, whether as cherished in the mind or as displayed in bearing or conduct. Well, I'm sure Korach cherished his standing in his mind, but he went even further with the pride, and then he influenced others with his conduct, with his words, with his actions. He led so many other people astray. He instigated the entire rebellion that threatened to wipe out the whole community. More than just the 250 leaders, the whole community. We're going to read a little bit about that. He led this revolt against Moses and Aaron. He turned the people, the entire nation, against them. And it was all because of his pride. It all, the root of it all, we're going to look at that today. How could this have happened? How could such a nation that saw all these miracles, that saw the plagues in Egypt, that saw all of the wonders, how could they forget? And this wasn't 40 years later. This was just a year later. How could they forget? It's unbelievable, but it can happen. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. The problem is one of pride. This was the root of it all. This was started what started it all. And the Bible tells us about pride. Proverbs 16, 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Everybody's been quoted that verse, right? We've quoted it to each other. We like to quote it to other people. But pride, our pride, always goes before destruction. The result of Korach's sin of pride was a literal opening up of the ground, swallowing up of Korach, the co-conspirators with him, and their families. The result of that pride was leading away the entire congregation. The result of the pride was 250 leaders were destroyed by what? By plague. How interesting. That was the means that God destroyed and did so much damage to the nation of Egypt because of their sin. This is what happened for the 250 people. They were destroyed immediately, and then the 14,700 people died in a plague. So it's unbelievable the effects of what one man's pride shown forth. Pride leads people astray. Pride leads people into sin and turmoil. And the thing is, there's only one cure for pride. It's not to just be a better person, because pride can strike all of us at all different times in our life, no matter how good you are as a person. We're seeing so many good people filled up with pride these days, and it's leading them astray. There's only one cure for pride, which is basically the sin of self. And that cure, the only restoration for a soul, is Yeshua. Yeshua, the Savior of our souls, the Redeemer of Israel and the Redeemer of the world. He is the cure for the pride that infects every one of us, that can easily lead us astray and cause us to lead others astray. That is Yeshua. The story of Korach shows us how insidious pride is, how it can start with just one of us, and how it can grow, how it can creep into our lives if we don't even realize it, and how we need Yeshua to save us from ourselves. Amen? Back to Numbers chapter 16. Let's turn back. And I want to read again verse 3. There's a lot in these verses that clue us into the pride of Korach. Numbers 16, 3. They assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said to him, "You have gone too far, for all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" Now, Korach's public proclamation, his public complaint, was over fairness. This is really, really important. Publicly, he made it out like it was about fairness. But it wasn't about fairness, was it? It was about the pride of Korach. But the public disagreement was over fairness. All the congregation is holy. It's not fair, Moses and Aaron, that you exalt yourselves. We're all holy. And it is true, the congregation was all supposed to be holy. Turn with me to Leviticus 19. There are many times in the Bible and in the Torah where God specifically tells the children of Israel, even at this time, you're all holy. So, you know, frequently when people are led away by their pride, they end up getting away with it many times because they do things like quote scripture. And they sound all right, but they quote it out of context, don't they? When the enemy came to Yeshua in the desert in Matthew chapter 4, he quoted scripture to Yeshua, but he quoted it out of context, right? So what happens here is Korach is quoting, I'm sure, the fact that God says in Leviticus 19, 1 and 2, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. So yes, they were all holy. Korach was partly right. But God had appointed Moses and Aaron to leadership roles. They were put in charge. And the sin of the pride of Korach says, this isn't right. We're all holy. And they're taking one aspect of Scripture over other aspects of Scripture. They're taking it all out of he was taking it all out of context. But God had shown the people repeatedly that Moses and Aaron were in charge. The deeper issue going on was this discontentment that was brewing. And Korach, I think, took advantage of the discontentment that had been brewing for several chapters in the book of Numbers, right? However long that was of a time period. Because remember what was going on the last few Torah portions. The entire first generation, just in the last Torah portion last week, the entire generation that comes out of Egypt, besides Joshua and Caleb, was sentenced to die in the wilderness because of listening to the bad report and believing the bad report of the spies. So I'm sure they weren't feeling too good about their prospects because they all knew they were going to die in the wilderness. They all knew that they couldn't have the creature comforts maybe that they enjoyed in Egypt at times. So there was discontentment that was brewing underneath the surface. And Korach capitalizes on that discontentment because Korach himself was discontent. And that's the first point that I want to put up today, is Korach was not content. Pride starts out many times when we have this discontentment with how things are going. We seem to think things aren't so fair. Why can't I have what so-and-so has next to me? Isn't that fair? Isn't that right? Isn't God a God of fairness? And we start quoting all those scriptures that justify those root seeds of pride in us. Korach was not content. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, talks to us about contentment. Philippians 4, 11 says, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Are we content in every situation we're going through? I mean, sometimes I have not felt so content in the last few months, and I'm sure you have as well. But the Bible tells us to be content in every situation, in every circumstance, not just the ones we like. Korach was not content, and it fueled those seeds of pride, and it fueled the discontentment of the congregation. And it is easy to become discontent. It's not hard to become discontent. You all know that. You look at your life. You look at how things are going. You look at what's not happening. You look at your job. You don't like your boss. Maybe because he's a jerk. I don't know. Maybe you have a jerk for a boss. That's fine. And people do. It's not that he's a good boss. It's that he's the boss that has been put in front of you right now. I've had bad bosses in my life. You could say, oh, he's younger than me. He doesn't know the job like I do. How come I have to be subservient to him? I'm just giving you examples. You could say, oh, I don't like how things are run in this country. I don't like what our politicians are doing. Look, many times I don't like what our politicians are doing, but we can become easily discontent. I don't like what's going on in the synagogue. I don't like the fact that we're not opening up services. I don't like the fact that we're opening up services. You see what I'm getting at? We can be discontent about everything. The point is, the Lord tells us to be content in every situation. It's not that we just need to accept everything, carte blanche, what's going on. But we need to understand that God is in control, that God is working through things, and there are points where we're in valleys. It's going to happen. Scripture says it. We have to understand it. This was certainly a valley going on for Israel. They were very discontent. So it doesn't always mean that your circumstances are right. And it also doesn't mean that your circumstances are a result of your sin all the time. It could just be that you're in a valley, because God is trying to show you something. I think God's been trying to show us as a country, United States, some things the last few months. I think God has been trying to show the globe, the world, all the people in it, some things the last few months. Are we listening, or are we just going to sit there in our discontent? You know, misery loves company, right? And Korach found some good company that was discontent, and he played on that. And he sowed those seeds of rebellion. And now turn with me back to number 16. So there was discontent. And now we continue to dive a little deeper in, and we're going to see some other things going on here. Turn with me to number 16, verses 8 through 10. And Moses says to Korach, "Hear now, you sons of Levi. Is it too small a thing that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do service in the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister to them? And that he has brought you near him and all your brothers, the sons of Levi, with you? And would you seek the priesthood also?" Isn't that interesting? So we have the public reason why Korach got everybody all riled up, right? Oh, it's all about fairness. We hear that all the time today, don't we, in the world? It's all about fairness. But we see now the private reason why Korach started the rebellion. He was discontent because he wanted Aaron's job. He wasn't content to be that cousin that was just handling the ark and the things of the Lord. And Moses does a great job, you know, with the Lord's inspiration by listing all these things. It's not enough. You're of my tribe. We're the tribe that everybody's talking about. We're the tribe that's doing all these things. It wasn't enough. But privately, Korach was upset because he wanted Aaron's job. And it's interesting, in Numbers 16:3, Korach accuses Moses and Aaron. He says, "Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" These were Korach's words. These were his accusations against Moses and Aaron. But the reality was, Korach wanted to exalt himself. Korach was what we call projecting, right? A lot of projecting going on. Pride always exalts itself. Point number two, Korach exalted himself. So he was discontent, and that grew to where he was then he wanted to exalt himself. He wanted the priesthood for himself. He wanted the glitz and the glamour. He wanted the notoriety, whatever you want to call it. The pride of Korach was he wanted to be in charge. Throughout human history, man has always sought to exalt himself. We see in the struggle between nations from the dawn of man that men fight against men, country fights against country, leadership fights against leadership. Throughout the ages, people are wanting to exalt themselves. We see it in ancient Israel. Look at king after king. You know, in my Bible reading, I'm going through 2 Kings now. And 1 and 2 Kings are all about this king saying, "Well, I want to be king." And then you know what he does? He goes and kills the king and his whole family and all of his sons so that he can never be king and nobody in his line can be king. I mean, this happens like so many times in Israel. But the point is, we all want to exalt ourselves. This is a human, sinful trait. Is nation will fight against nation, but even within nations, people are vying for power. People are killing each other. People are killing whole families to exalt themselves. But this was happening back then. This happens today. And you know what? This was even happening in the body of Messiah. Turn with me to 3 John, third book of John. Not John, but 3 John. And if you want to know where that is, right before Revelation, right before Jude and Revelation. It's towards the end. It's the third little book that John wrote. John is the disciple that Yeshua loved, the one who wrote down what the Lord gave him to write the book of John, the book of Revelation. He also wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. They're very short books. You can read them in about 2 minutes. You know, you can go through them really quickly. But there is something that we could just easily miss, and I think it explains this whole idea, and it shows a great example, even 2,000 years ago, and even with the body of Messiah, how if we're not careful, the sin of pride, that discontentment can grow in us to where we want to start exalting ourselves. It can even get into the body of Messiah. There was a leadership structure going on in one of the early congregations that John is talking about. And there's this guy, this man named Diotrephes. I tried to pronounce this all week long, and of course I'm going to mess it up. Diotrephes, he wanted to exalt himself. This is the same issue Korach had. He wasn't content. He wanted to take on the current leadership in the congregation. This is a messianic congregation 2,000 years ago. He wanted to put himself first. And if we read in 3 John 9 and 10, there's only one chapter, verses 9 and 10, we see this. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. Boy, this sounds like the same stuff, the same problems that were going on with Korach, the same problems that have gone on in the world from time immemorial. There's a discontent that grows where the person wants to exalt himself. This is the same thing that was happening. Korach was doing that thing too. He was rejecting Moses and Aaron's leadership because he wanted it himself. He thought he could do it better. He was exalting himself. But here's the thing, and this is the last point I'm going to make. We'll get to it in a minute, but the last point is really, he was publicly saying one thing, but doing something privately, and it was all about pride. But the thing is, he was complaining against Moses and Aaron, but he really wasn't coming against Moses and Aaron. He was coming against God himself. And this is what Moses is really astute. Moses is totally in line and in alignment with what God is doing, because Moses, every step of the way, calls Korach's number, doesn't he? First he says, you want the priesthood. And then, go back to number 16. This is really interesting. Verse 11, this is then what Moses says about Korach. Number 16, 11. Therefore, he's talking to Korach, Moses. Therefore, it is against the Lord that you and all your company have gathered together. What is Aaron that you grumble against him? Moses, the most humble man, he wasn't about to say, look at me, you've done this to me, Korach. You know what he says? He says, you're going against the Lord. This is ultimately your agenda, Korach. This is ultimately what you're about. Your discontentment is not with me and Aaron. Your discontentment is against the Lord himself, who put Aaron and I in this position. So Moses knows what's going on. Korach started by saying, we the people, right? Everybody's holy and equal. Moses saw right through it. The Lord saw right through it. The root issue was Korach was not rejecting him and Aaron. Korach was rejecting God. Turn with me to Psalm 10. I found these verses very, very interesting. Psalm 10, verses 3 and 4. Psalm 10, verses 3 and 4 says, For the wicked boasts of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. Wow. This pretty much sums up the mentality of Korach. That is the last point that I wanted to put up here, is ultimately, Korach rejected God's authority. It wasn't just that he was discontent. It wasn't just that he was wanting to exalt himself. He was really wanting to reject God, because God had set all this up. God had led them out with an outstretched arm. God had put Moses and Aaron in charge. God had said the first generation is going to die out. Korach didn't like it. He was rejecting God's authority. Our pride can blind us to this. Our pride can blind us to the fact that we're really rejecting God when we're saying we're not happy, we don't like what's going on, we don't like our boss, we don't like our leader. It really comes down to our pride. That's the real sin, is that we're rejecting the Lord himself. Now turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Now we're going to go all the way back, and we're going to find out there's nothing new under the sun, and there's nothing new with pride. It ultimately boils down to that original sin. Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Now, of course, Genesis chapter 3, things are going so great in the garden, chapters 1 and 2, and then, boom, we hit chapter 3, and there's this little problem. The serpent comes slithering through. Of course, it's the enemy, it's the devil himself, taking on the form of the serpent, coming in and deceiving Adam and Eve, right? And listen to what the serpent says to the woman. Verse 4, "But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" God had told them not to eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said it. It should have been good enough. They should have not questioned it, but of course they did. And it was brought in by the cunning words of the serpent. And so they believed the lie. And they gave in to that pride, that original sin of wanting to be like God, wanting to know good and evil. They wanted to elevate themselves. They didn't think it was good enough just to listen to God, to go along with what God said no matter what. They had to figure it all out themselves. They wanted to exalt themselves. And that's the original sin, that original pride coming in. We don't need God to tell us what to do. We don't need to trust that God is handling things. We don't really need God's leadership. We reject the authority of God over us. This is the thought process. This is the mentality. And this is really the root of the sin of pride. And this was Korach's pride, ultimately. The Bible tells us the way that we are to live our lives. And if you turn with me to the book of Micah, we don't turn to Micah a lot of times, but Micah is a great book. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. It's a great book because it gives us, all of the books of the Bible are great because they have the very words of truth in them. But this is a verse that we can really look at and say, this is truth right here, okay? In a world that exalts self, in a world that exalts pride, in a world that encourages us to be like Korach, the word of God says this, Micah 6, 8. "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" Now, boy, if that is not the opposite of pride, if that is not the opposite of everything Korach did, of everything that the 250 leaders did, of everything that the children of Israel did, that is what God requires of us, to walk humbly. That's what God wants from us. That's it right there. Pride is the opposite of humility. Pride is the opposite of yielding to God when what he has put in place. There is a clear contrast between Korach and his pride and Moses and Aaron and their humility. And Moses and Aaron were not without fault. We know that. But Moses and Aaron had that humbleness. What does Moses do every time Korach comes to him? He counters with the Lord, not Moses. He doesn't say, and this is a tendency we all can have, this is where pride can creep in even with us when we're trying to refute someone and where we can easily say, well, God has put me in charge, so you better back off, Korach. No, Moses didn't even do that. He said, this is against the Lord that you're doing this. Who is Aaron? Who am I? Basically, he was saying. And that's what we can all say. Who are we? But God is everything. We need to accept what God has for us. We can all fall into the trap of pride so easily. It could be about anything. We have to be very careful that we don't succumb to it, that we don't let it creep into our life. Self-righteousness in every form is pride. And we have to be careful to constantly remember to take, and it's so easy to get so full of right and wrong, right? Especially when you're on Facebook or when you're on Instagram or when you're watching the TV or the news, you say to yourself, that's not right. The Word of God says this. We got to be even careful then that we don't fall into that trap. We got to just be pointing to the Lord and saying, you know what, God, you're in charge. No matter what's going on out there, you're in charge. No matter what's going on out there, I'm going to humble myself before you because you've got all this under control. Listen, there were some dark moments there during the Korach rebellion where Moses and Aaron, I'm sure, were pretty frightened. Oh my gosh, what's going on here? The whole community, the 2 million plus people, were ready to get rid of Moses and Aaron. Last week's portion, this week's portion, it was pretty gloomy. But even then, Moses and Aaron didn't exalt themselves. They said, God is in charge. And this is what we need to say. We have to remember that there's only one cure for pride, and that's to humble ourselves before the Lord. And the Word of God instructs us as we go through the Bible that the the real cure for pride is Yeshua, the Messiah. Now, I want you to turn to one more scripture. This is really important. Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Yeshua gives us that glimpse of how to be. And it's not the pride of Korach, and it's not to be self-righteous and full of ourselves. It's the Micah 6:8 stuff. It's the walk humbly before your God, with your God stuff. And Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25 says this, "Then Yeshua told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.'" Korach's rebellion is all about people that wanted to save their life, and they lost it. Ground swallowed them up. The plague killed 14,700 people. If it was not for Moses and Aaron standing in the gap, they would have been wiped out, the whole community. And that's a whole other message about the atonement of our God, about how Yeshua stands in front of, I talked about this last week. The only reason you and I are even here, that we're even alive spiritually, that we're even able to have redemption, is because a righteous one, a righteous leader, Yeshua, has come in front of us and a holy God and said, "It's okay, I'll take their sin." Because we sin. We have that pride, we have that sin in us. But God is able to redeem us. This is the cure for the sin of pride. We have to give up our life. We have to give up our claim to ourselves. We have to give up our self-righteousness, our sin of wanting to be like God, of wanting to do it our way, our sin of thinking we know what's best for us, that we know better than God. We find life, eternal life, when we lay down our lives, when we yield to God, when we say, "You know what, God? Things are going crazy right now. My circumstances aren't great. I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death." But that's when you grab and you clutch the Lord even tighter. And you say, "Lord, I know that there's a reason why the valley's happening. I know that there's a reason why things are going crazy out there. But that doesn't even matter. What matters is me walking humbly with you." Don't give in to the sin of pride that says, "I'm going to go out and try to fix things. I'm going to go out and try to do this. I'm going to go out." You know what you need to do? You know what I need to do? We need to get humble with our God and allow Him to do what He's going to do. Allow Him to work. Allow Him to show the miracles. Allow Him to show the deliverance. We're just vessels. You and I are just simply vessels for the Lord to do His work. That's how we have to start thinking. Not that we have any power of our own, but in Messiah, we can do all things. But you got to remember those two words, in Messiah, we can do all things. When we lay down our lives, we don't succumb to the sin of Korach, the sin of pride. We have a choice every single day to wake up and say, "Today's the day I'm going to lay down my life and I'm going to allow you to be God in my life. Today's the day I'm going to look to you and exalt you." That is the choice that we have today. And that's the choice we have every day, no matter if we're in a pandemic or everything's rosy outside. Today is the day to humble ourselves before the Lord. Let's go to prayer. Lord God of Israel, God of all creation, Lord, we know that whether or not it's good times or bad times, we know you're in charge, we know you're on the throne, and we know you're in charge of things and nothing's getting by you. Sometimes we think, "Oh, did something just slip by? Did God not see that? How can he allow this is going on?" You know what? This happens all the time. And Lord, you're in control. We just say, Lord, you're on the throne. Help us to walk humbly no matter what's going on around us. Help us to reflect you and not succumb to that sin of pride, no matter what form it comes in. No matter if it's because of discontent or wanting to exalt ourselves, and also no matter if it's trying to respond. We need to respond in a godly way to it all, Lord God. But through it all, give us your Ruach, your Holy Spirit, to guide our hearts and our mind, to answer, to maybe not answer sometimes, Lord. Lead us, guide us, direct us. But we give you charge and command. We ask you to be our head, to be our not only our Savior, but our Lord. So today, Lord God, if there's anybody that doesn't know you here, if there's anybody that doesn't know you that's watching, that is struggling with that sin of self-righteousness, of pride, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you would open up eyes, drop scales, Lord God, change hearts, redeem us, Lord God. The only cure for pride is you, Yeshua. And I pray that in these very dark, valley-filled times, when the darkness seems to be increasing, Lord, the light is right there. You're right there, and you're shining brighter than ever if we would just look to you. And I pray that you would open up hearts, that you would miraculously bring people to you, Lord, at this time, that you would use us as vessels. All we have to do is show up. It could be in the grocery store. It could be just at our jobs. But, Lord, use us as you see fit to help you in building your kingdom, even in these times. We thank you. And Lord, help us to just learn from this today and grow closer to you. We thank you and praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.